And what that Rashi says over there, he says, "Shein onshin," right? But Yud Dalet Amud Aleph.
Right.
So Rashi is—it starts a little below the middle of the page, but it's dealing with what's at the bottom of the page in the Gemara. She says, "Shein onshin min adin," which is the principle that we established that it cannot give punishment simply based on logical inference from another situation or something like that. Why? Sharei ona shal basimo shelo basoviv uvoa. Because the Torah gives a punishment for, a sister who is the daughter of his mother, right? But not his father's daughter, or, for his father's daughter who is not his mother's daughter. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Basaviva Basimo, right? Because the Torah itself singles out both of these. So, we could have said a sister will not bother to put anything in, right? And say that for that you get kores. But why does the Torah specify, bas oviv ovasimo? In order to tell you that the two situations are not exactly the same. That the Torah has to be more specific, and you can't say, well, a sister is a sister, and therefore, it would not be necessary for the Torah to mention these separately. Okay? The Yesh Lomar, Shenema Vasuvi Vasuvi. The Yesh Lomar, and we could have given an answer, he says, Kol Shekein She'ana Shabasuvi Vasimo, right? We could have said, certainly then he should have punished, that is, the Torah should have, demanded a punishment for having intercourse with a sister. Right, who is both his father's daughter and his mother's daughter. We should have been able to say that, simply on logical inference, right? Aval imamata kach, but if you say this, then onashto min adin, you have given a punishment based only upon what? Upon logic. And that we cannot do. L'chach ne'emar, for that reason, we'll have the word achoso, the sefer, the word achoso is repeated towards the end of the pasuk. Achoso he, right?
So when you say min adin, you mean min adin is logic?
Yeah, in this case, ain onshim min adin, this is what it means.
I see.
They use it, very often in the argumentation of the Gemara, they would say, vidin hu. So what does it mean, vidin hu? It doesn't mean that this is a din, that this is a law, but rather it means, wouldn't we expect that this would be logical? And then they bring in why you could not simply accept it on the basis of logic itself. Okay?
So the word has two
different... Yeah, obviously it has a different meaning in this case. It doesn't mean, what we normally think that did mean, judgment or law or something like that.
Very specific meaning.
Pardon me?
That's a very specific meaning. Just law, but certain kinds of law.
Deen.
Right, of course.
Judgment.
Yeah. But as I say, there's a certain vocabulary that when you learn Gemara, little by little, some of these phrases, they begin to gel and, you try to understand what exactly is it that the Chachamim are trying to say when they use this word.
When they say Bifnim Shurat HaDin, they're talking
there about they mean deen. Specifically,
okay,
right. There it's Din in its original sense. Yeah. In other words, Din over there means the strict letter of the law, whereas Bifnim Shurat HaDin means that you're acting not within the strict letter of the law, but beyond. You're doing more than what the strict letter of the law demands of you. Okay. Now, the Idach, if you remember, all the arguments on this page have been, there were three people who were involved. Okay? One, if you remember, was Rabbi Eliezer, right? And Rabbi Eliezer, as far as he's concerned, you get Malkus, right? And you also can get a death penalty. Why? So, as we discovered last week, because in his opinion, Malkus is the beginning of what ultimately will result in a death penalty. It's only like a more involved death penalty, so that therefore he doesn't say that this is a violation of the fact that mishtum shtei rishoyos. In other words, you cannot inflict punishment on the man. In other words, given malchus because of two rishos. In other words, two different types of of transgressions. Okay,
yeah.
Right. Because as Rabbi Akiva said, "Bishum risho achas atomachayimo." You can give him malchus because of one violation, but you don't give him, for two. So Rabbi Akiva, now with him, what was his point of view? Rabbi Akiva's point of view, if you remember, was that malchus is given to people who deserve kores. Even though they will be punished by the heavenly court with kores, nevertheless, the earthly court can give them malchus. Why? So he based it on the fact that, the fact is, look, we so far haven't seen that they did shuva. But anyway, that's something that belongs to the heavenly court. But the fact is that he did transgress a law of the Torah. And for a transgression of the law of the Torah, he says he should get malchus, okay? And then the other opinion, the last one, was Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, as we saw, he says that a person who gets kores does not get malchus, okay? So that being the case, the argument is going back and forth over here, all right? So, the Edoch, the second to the last line, the last word over there, mm-hmm. Right?
Edoch.
And as far as the other one is concerned, in this particular case, it happens to be Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion, which, as we said, he says that, if you get Kores, you don't get Malchus. Okay? Kores is punishment enough for that. All right. So he says, Ibois Emo, if you wish, Gomar Einesh Meyaz Hora. He learned that, the punishment, he derives, what the punishment should be from the warning which is given. Now again, let's review the two words. What is Azhora again? Azhora, which as we said, we translate warning. What it means is that the Torah says that you shouldn't do this, okay? But the penalty is not spelt out. Subsequently, another pasuk will come along and spell out what the onesh, what the punishment should be for this. And as we saw, this applies to many areas. For example, if the Torah tells us lo tignot, right, you're not to steal. But it doesn't indicate what the penalty should be for that. Ten Commandments simply gives you don't steal, right, don't
murder.
Commit adultery, don't murder, okay? But it doesn't indicate what the penalties are for these things.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, along comes Parsha Mishpatim and other, sedras as well, of the rest of the Torah, okay? And particularly, certain ones were heavy with all kinds of dinim over there,
mm-hmm.
to tell you, what the punishment would be for violation of this particular principle, okay? So, he says, Gomar Einish Vayashara. All right, here's the big Rashi, and let's take a look at that. Okay? In the Inyan Ashara, what is the warning? So, Ksiv over there, the Pasuk says, you see whether I'm reading from the Rashi?
Yeah.
Says, okay. The Pasuk says, Achos Chahi, she is your sister. Right? And this, it says, is Yisera lahashir alachoso basoviva basimo. And this is an additional sentence which is there in order to tell us that, that you're not allowed to have relations with your sister who is the daughter of your father and the daughter of your mother. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ervas bas eshes avicha, moledes avicha. In other words, the nakedness, literally, of the daughter of your father's wife, who was born to your father, achos chahi, she is your sister. Now, obviously, if we've already said that she's a sister, what do we need achos chahi? Repetition again? Right?
Right.
What happened over here?
Yeah.
Umar's horror. Lo chilak bein achosa basovi v'shelo basimo, and inasmuch as in the warning over there, they did not really make any distinction between the sister who was the daughter of his father, and but not his mother's daughter, right? or Bats Imo Shelo Bats Oviv, or for the mother's daughter who was not the father's daughter, although actually that was covered over there. But the point is, it didn't make a distinction. Ula Choso, or his sister, Shehi Bats Oviv Bats Imo, who is both his father's daughter and his brother's daughter. So Af Bi Onesh, so likewise, when it came to the punishment, Ona Shala Choso Bats Oviv Bi Imo, so when it comes to the punishment, he will be punished
equally
whether it is having relations with his sister who is both his father's daughter and his mother's daughter, and equally with the sister who is only the father's daughter but not the mother's, and equally with the mother's daughter who is not the father's daughter. So in other words, the punishment would be the same for all of these things. The Eboy Seima, and if you wish, maybe he derived it in a different way. Napgalei, he derives it literally, he takes it out from what? Turn the page. He derives it me'achoso deresha, from the word achoso, which we have at the beginning of the pasuk. How so? So take a look at the first Rashi over there, top of the page. It says ma'achoso deresha. The motzi lichto, he says, the Torah simply could have written ki yikach es bas oviva basimo, right? If he takes, in other words, if he the idea of being, you know, that he takes literally to a marriage bed. But of course, we're not talking about marriage, obviously, because it's not a marriage, right? But the daughter of his father or his mother. But why does it say achoso? So it's in order to teach us that what, that it also applies to the sister who is really both the daughter of his father and his mother. Okay. The idoch, and how about the others? Who are the others over here? Of course, the others are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who were not in agreement with Rabbi Yitzchak, right? Mm-hmm. So what did they do with this pasuk? Point is that when you have psukim in the Torah, they come along and they teach. They need it in order to support a point of view.
It's a proof text.
Right, it's a proof text. But what one person uses a proof text for himself may not necessarily be understood as a proof text for the identical position by the other people who disagree with him. Right. Because they need it for a different interpretation that they insist upon. And therefore, what we're arguing over here is not only what do they need it for, but even when all of them are equally agreed as far as what the din is, but not necessarily for the same reason.
Can I interrupt you?
Yes.
What did Rob Eliezer say? What was his major
point? His major point was that a person could get both Malkos and Misa. Malkos and Misa. But not, he said, because he also accepts the idea of Mishum Risha Achas, Ato Bechaivo, right? The lower, Mishum Shtei Rishois, okay? He accepts that principle. But why does he then say that he can get Malkos and Misa, whereas he won't accept it for, say, Malkus and Mama, or Misa and Mama? You understand?
Because it's a Misa.
Right, because he holds it's a Misa. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mama?
Huh?
Mama?
Mama is money. Yeah. In other words, you cannot get a death penalty and be charged a fine at the same time.
That's a little illogical.
Listen, I hate to tell you, there are regimes
that
do that.
Used to do that.
Yeah.
They used to confiscate a person's property and behead them.
Right.
Yeah, I suppose if you consider that payment.
Listen, I assure you that people like Saddam Hussein and Assad and the rest of that gang, they'll be surprised if they pull this kind of shtick. It's the kind of a civilization that they represent. So, okay, so in that particular case, all right, so what are they going to do with this extra one? So he says, and here comes very interesting how they argue over here. He says, Ahu, that pasuk, you know what they need it for? Miboy le lechalek kores limafatem velasoch. They need it in order to tell you that you will get Kores, right?
Right.
As your punishment, both if you are mefatim and both if you are soch. Now let's define these two terms. Mefatim, you remember what we say on Shabbos morning? Actually, we should say it every morning, but Pitum HaKtoris.
Pitum HaKtoris, yeah.
Yeah, what is Pitum HaKtoris? Say it all the time. Means literally the compounding of the incense.
Compounding
the compounding of the incense. The incense that they use, right?
That's Pitum HaKtoris.
Right. Okay. But in addition to the incense that we talk about, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they also had a special Shemen HaMishcha. Right? This was the oil used for anointing the tabernacle and all the vessels that were contained within it and so on. Now naturally, it wasn't simply oil. It had to be mixed in with some other elements as well. So that's Mefate, okay? And now what is Soch? Soch is that, yeah, or in other words, you use it as an unguent on the skin, you know. Okay?
Like use it like a salve.
Like a salve, right, exactly.
This talks about first sin, and also Lot, that contravenes the Torah commandment.
Correct.
For, in a sense, personal use.
Yeah, of course. Right. That's correct.
Or actually,
but
not even
it's spelled out, however.
Not
yeah.
even to make the Ketoret.
Right, you're not allowed to
make it.
Right, because
okay.
what the Pasuk says, as we'll see in a moment,
exactly,
again,
thank
God that we have a Rashi, and we have to learn how to use Rashi.
I'm not giving you enough room.
No, that's okay. No problem. Okay. Second line of the Rashi.
Okay.
Number Fatim Besach. Okay?
Right.
See
right.
it?
Right.
Okay. The Havanamish Dei Labin, he says. They are two different labin, right? Two
right.
prohibited
right.
mitzvahs as far as the Torah is concerned, right? The kores echad, but the word kores is mentioned only once in connection with both of these actions. Okay? Vehutzvach lonu lechalek b'nehem, and therefore it was necessary for us to make a distinction. Remember that we learned last week that the chalek means, or you know, the chalek means in general that it means that you have to subdivide it and you punish for each and every infraction. I told you, like, for example, one of the classic cases is, you know, about how the wording is for violation of the Shabbos, the lighting of lights. Lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvei seichem yom haShabbos, right? And the Gemara in Shabbos says that there is a machlokas. What is the machlokas? Machlokas is whether that particular pasuk is l'lav yotzos or l'chalek yotzos. If it's l'lav yotzos, then it means that only that particular action is punishable, okay? Whereas lachalek, if we say that, then in that case it means that it can be used for each and every infraction, whether it's for an av malach, as we would say, or whether it is for tolada, you know, in other words,
right.
A subdivision, so to speak, derived from a major malach and so on. So this is what lachalek. Chalek means that for each and every infraction, that they are separate violations, and therefore they deserve separate punishments, okay? But there's only one Koris that was written over here, okay? Best thing is, you know, if we take a Chumash, we take a log, but it'll come out in the course of the Rashi,
okay?
Alright, so he says, first of all, the Havinamish Dei Lavin, right? They are two different cases of Lav, two prohibited actions. The Koris Echad, but there's only one Koris for them. The Yehutzvach Lonu Lechalek B'nehem. And we find it necessary to separate these two. Gemoshen, Hutzrach, Chiluk Ba'aroyos. Just as we found it necessary to separate Aroyos. Now, if you remember, what did we say about that on the previous page when we discussed it? We said that the Torah could have simply had one general statement to say, Whoever violates Arroyos, right, gets Kores. So then, why does the Torah come and single out, you know, particularly Achotso, his sister, right? So, for the reason being that for any infraction, and we even had a case where it's possible. Remember that case with the diagram
where
you had the Rishia Bar Rishia,
yeah,
where he could actually be involved in committing three different violations at the same time.
One
his mother, his sister,
his father's daughter.
His father's daughter and his mother's daughter, right.
I think so.
Very esoteric.
No, his father's sister and his mother's sister.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
I just dropped the diagram someplace. It's on the floor. But at any rate, yeah, thank you. Remember.
Very good.
We drew this picture last week. Sister one, sister two, and here comes along Sonny Boy, the Rishia Barishia, and so on. So he was guilty of three transgressions. All at one shot, exactly. And if you accept the principle of the chalek, then what does it mean? It means that he has to be punished
three times.
Each three. Now, of course, we said that, you know, if it is a case that he was ignorant of the law or is ignorant that this was his sister or something like that, so in that case he would have to bring a chatas in order to atone. First of all, ask the tshuva. Then he has to bring a chatos in order to secure atonement. So how many chatos does he have to bring? The answer is he would have to bring three chatos, because it's based on this principle of the chalik. Okay? So likewise, here we have two situations connected with the Shevin HaMishnah, right? One is as far as the actual compounding itself, and another one is as far as using it to anoint yourself, right? Smear it on to use it, right?
Yeah.
For your own personal pleasure.
Okay,
so by smearing it on your body, okay? And the word, and the kores, the idea of kores is found only once